And we're live. And guys, remember, the weekend is dead. And your new week starts with this wonderful action-packed podcast that's starting about an hour and a half late. This show should have started a while ago, and it did not. Some of you may be wondering what's happening. Some of you may not care. I don't know. But for those of you wondering what happened, there was a recall on the airbag in our car. We dropped it off the dealership. They said, hey, don't worry about it. We got a shuttle. We'll get you home in no time. Hour later, we finally make it back home. So, I wish today was dead instead of just the weekend. But today, we're going to be talking about WrestleMania coming up this weekend. Something to look forward to. I'm so discombobulated this morning, rushing around trying to get the show up. We're also going to talk about the Aspen Android-powered laptop that we've got right here. Wait, I have to put it in front of my face because I got that other thing over it. So we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Some of the interesting things going on with that Android-powered laptop. How does that even work? I don't know. But nonetheless, talk about a few things. We got some feedback on from some people regarding last week's show. I want to thank you for that. Some people left messages talking. The time I talked about soccer, was not actually talking about soccer per se. I was talking about streaming media services, but I knew if I called it that, some people would freak out, and that's kind of the fun of the whole thing. But talking about those streaming media services, there were questions about which service I think works best. I talked about using the different things, what's worth paying for, and I discussed some of that, but there were a few questions people had. So to answer a couple questions, the Fire TV is probably the best streaming box that I have. I do not have an Apple TV. I have no plans to because I don't buy anything through iTunes ever. So my iTunes library is just like the free stuff that they give you, like the YouTube album and a couple pilot TV shows or whatever. So can't talk about that. But the Fire TV itself is fantastic. And I know some people don't like how heavy it is on the Amazon stuff. If you're not an Amazon Prime subscriber, then there's a lot of wasted space on there because it lists all of their stuff that's available. But if you are a Prime subscriber, then it's great because you have a ton of stuff available. The Roku is probably the one that I regret the most. In fact, if I could go back in time, I would just skip the Roku and grab like a Fire TV stick or something to throw on this little TV that I watch stuff on. Because the Roku, it's just slow. I don't like the menu system, how everything is laid out. And it just feels very limited. Android TV feels like it has more available because you can sideload some stuff on there that you can't do with a Roku box. But then Android TV has its own problems with it that Fire TV fixes. I mean, honestly, Fire TV is probably the best Android TV. And I'd probably even put it higher than the NVIDIA Shield just because I am a Prime subscriber and all that Prime stuff is great to have at your fingertips as far as all of that stuff goes. Comcast, the Xfinity streaming app is... it's okay. It's decent. It's not the greatest. It seems to do the job pretty well. But by being a Comcast subscriber, I do have the ability to use things like Watch ESPN, Fox Sports Go, NBC Sports app, some of those types of things. And if you're not into sports, you're into TV shows, stuff like A&E, Investigation Discovery, a lot of those cable networks do have their own apps, and when you log in, you have the ability to use your Comcast login information to unlock stuff. So the Comcast app itself, it's only good maybe for watching some live stuff that they have available that isn't available through the company, the separate networks' own apps. But as far as watching things on demand, stuff out of their own libraries, you can download 30 different apps from different networks, log in with your Comcast information, and then get all of that stuff to stream on there. So that works pretty well. If you are a Comcast subscriber, I would heavily say you need to look into that, and especially using something like, again, the Fire TV, an Android TV box, something along those lines, even the Roku. You can get some of those apps on your device, log into them, and you have a lot of on-demand stuff available there. So that is pretty cool and handy to have. But yeah, Roku and Sling, those are by far the biggest regrets I have on a lot of that stuff. No, Philip, leave her alone. The cat's climbing into stuff, and Philip is going to go over there and make a bigger mess and get in the middle of everything else. Stay out of there. Philip. Yelling at the cat. 4DG. So just let the cat be the cat. Don't worry about it. Stuff falls over, then hopefully she'll die. Because I don't like the cat. I'm not going to kill the cat. But I'll let it have something horrible happen to it. No. Okay, let's talk about WrestleMania. Those of you who have been following myself or the Pop Culture Network for a long time know that I used to host a wrestling podcast, talked about wrestling all the time. I don't know. I got burned out on the product for a while there, and I'm pretty much burned out again. This is just a very lackluster WrestleMania to me. But nonetheless, we're going to go through the card here. I'm actually going to use, there's a few matches that haven't officially been announced, but we're going to speculate that they're probably going to be coming. The first up being, of course, SmackDown Tag Team Championship, Usos versus American Alpha. This will probably be a kickoff show match. The Usos are the champions. American Alpha, I kind of expect them. I expect them to win this one and get the titles and lead to an ongoing feud. Though the Usos could retain at WrestleMania in some sort of underhanded way that lead to a rematch. I don't expect great things out of this match. I think American Alpha is pretty good. The Usos are competent. They're decent, but they don't blow me away in the ring. I've never been a huge fan. They're all right. Like, I'm not going to not watch a match that they're doing, but they're just not as spectacular as I think a lot of other teams historically have been. So, like I said, I don't expect a lot out of the match. It's probably going to be a kickoff show type of thing. No big deal. We have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and they haven't announced a whole lot of people for this. It's not getting a lot of fanfare. Probably another thing that'll be on the kickoff show. My guess is Braun Strowman is probably going to end up in this. He'll probably win it. You know, we do have Raw tonight, SmackDown tomorrow to set up a few more of these things. They'll probably go through and announce everybody tonight. You do have the potential for some of these characters like Kurt Angle. Technically, it is possible that he might appear in the Battle Royal. He's limited on what he can do in the ring. WWE doesn't want to do much with him because of his neck issues. They probably won't let him wrestle like a full match at some point, but there's a pretty good chance that someone like Kurt Angle could pop in just to, you know, throw a couple doofuses over. A big guy like Braun Strowman comes in, throws him out, and then, you know, he's done, but it'll give him a moment to shine in the show. Now, I don't know that they'll do that necessarily, but you do have the possibility of something like that happening. But overall, I expect someone like Braun Strowman just to win it. It's kind of a throwaway. They seem to make a big deal out of it, and then as soon as they did, they didn't. So it is what it is, but it's not much. Let's see. What about the SmackDown Women's? Let's talk about the Cruiserweight Championship first. Okay. Neville is your champion. Austin Aries is going to be his opponent. This should be a really good match. This is one of those matches. This is one of the few that I'm actually looking forward to on the show. I think Neville is fantastic as a wrestler. I think Austin Aries is fantastic as a wrestler. I mean, Austin Aries, I think, is a guy that should be in the main event stage. I think Austin Aries versus, you know, even like Roman Reigns and a John Cena, they say he's not that big, but he's a really good technical wrestler, like a Dean Malenko type, that I think you'd get some good, interesting matches out of him, but I know that they won't do that because he's a lot shorter. But as far as this one goes, I think Neville will probably win and retain the title, but it's going to be a good match. Regardless, as long as they give it time. Now, that's going to be the other deal. If they give it 7 minutes, you're going to get 7 high impact minutes with not a lot of, you know, payoff to it, not a real big deal to it. But if they give it, you know, 15 minutes, it'll be a great match. It'll just be fantastic. Let's see. We have SmackDown Women's Championship. The entire roster is taking on Alexa Bliss. Gosh, I don't know. You could have someone like Eva Marie returning in this match. It could be it's going to be a spectacle. I mean, it's not a match that's being sold on the basis of, like, hey, you're going to get good wrestling, you know? It is what it is. It's a filler. It's a popcorn match. It's one of those matches that might be, like, pre-main event or right before or right after, like, whatever Shaq's doing. Something along those lines where you need that cool-off moment before something big follows it, or there's some big event and then you throw it out there so that while everybody's still talking about the other thing that happened, you have this time filler to let people process it before you get on with the next thing. So I don't think it's going to be anything fantastic, but who knows. Let's see. The Raw Tag Team Championship, Gallows and Anderson versus Amore and Big Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus. I don't see anything big coming out of this. I think Gallows and Anderson will probably retain. Cesaro and Sheamus, I think, are pretty much done. They've had their run, but I think they might do a couple more matches, but I don't see it lasting much longer. Enzo and Cass are, they're a stunt team. They're a gimmick team. They get over on their entrance more than any of the matches that they actually have. Kind of like the New Age Outlaws, I guess you could say. I don't know. I would expect this three-way, Gallows and Anderson, are going to win it. They are going to retain, but they are going to retain. I think Cesaro and Sheamus will be pushed out pretty early, more or less, so that the real shine is Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass. And then you'll see a lot of interaction between those two teams setting up for a rematch on Raw, which is the worst thing to do with the WrestleMania event, is to set up a match for the next night on, you know, regular TV. But I think that's probably what you're going to get. John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maurice. I am not a fan of The Miz. I have never been a fan of The Miz. People are always saying, oh, he's so great on the mic. He's not. They're like, well, what about that thing on Talking Smack? All he did was yell. I mean, you go back and look, and all he did was yell. And he still didn't make his point. The point that Daniel Bryan made was that you come across soft as a safe wrestler. You're not willing to throw yourself out there. And he's like, yeah, but I've wrestled every night for blah, 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 whatever. Who cares? Who cares if you've never taken time off, if your matches suck? He's not a good wrestler. He's very loose in the ring. He's flighty a lot of times, like with Dean Ambrose. He doesn't have a lot of impact. He's just not good. So I think Cena and Nikki are going to win this. I'm just afraid of Miz winning. But this reminds me of when they did the main event with Cena and Miz at WrestleMania a couple years ago, and it was not entertaining. It was not a good main event. Miz did not perform well in there. So maybe he's gotten better over the last couple years, but I mean, he just looks like a strung-out alcoholic nowadays, so I'm not putting a whole lot into this match. It'll probably become a catfight between Nikki and Maurice, and they'll roll around and pull hair and whatever, and I think that's going to be a big, that's going to be the big thing, is making it more of a catfight between those girls. AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. I like AJ Styles. I think he's great. I think he's being wasted in this match. Shane is just there to do stunts, basically. So you're going to see him go through the announce table. You might see him climb up on something and jump off like he usually does. It depends on what the entryway looks like. Or they might have, you know, the scaffold around the ring with, you know, lights and Money in the Bank, whatever. But honestly, I just don't see a good match. You're going to see some amazing stunts probably. And I think with AJ, he can take the stunts. He can do the stunts. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. As far as like a good match, you're not going to see good wrestling out of this because it's Shane. And Shane cannot do good wrestling, but he can break tables. He can break, you know, announce tables. They can gimmick electrical cables to spark and shoot out smoke and, you know, do whatever type of stuff for him. So you'll see some high-flying stuff. AJ can fly. Shane can fly. You'll see some neat stuff as far as that goes, but I'm just not – it's one of those that you're going to watch for the rewind moments, you know, like, oh my gosh, he just climbed up a 20-foot ladder and fell through five flaming tables. How amazing. And that's going to be a cool moment for it. But, you know, otherwise there's not going to be a whole lot to it. However, rumor is that something in this may set up for AJ Styles to switch from SmackDown to Raw, just to freshen things up a little bit, give him some new competitors, whatever, which I actually don't want to see. SmackDown, I've enjoyed a lot more than Raw the past couple months. I like a lot of the guys who are specific to SmackDown over the ones specific to Raw. And so I don't want to see AJ jump over to Raw because I don't want to sit through 3 hours of Raw. I really don't enjoy watching Raw anymore because it's just, it's so long, it's so drawn out. Most of the time, if there's something I want to watch on it, I'll watch it like on demand or in a DVR type thing and just kind of fast forward through, just watch some key stuff. But otherwise, I just cannot sit through it live anymore. Or if I'm trying to watch it live, I'm flipping between stuff because it is just so long and so bad nowadays. Let's see, United States Championship, Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens. I don't think they've done enough to really build up this match properly the way that they should. They'll probably do some big angle on Raw tonight in order to make it seem like a much bigger deal than it is. But as far as Jericho versus Owens, I'm not buying it as a huge feud. I know WWE is pushing a lot into this, but I just don't see it as being as big a deal as it probably should be, considering how long those two have been running together and how big certain things like the list has turned out to be. I just don't see Jericho, I don't see him retaining the championship and sticking around that much longer. I think he's done whatever he needs to as the United States champion, which isn't much. I don't know that Jericho is going to be around much longer. Now, I don't know anything into his contract or anything along those lines, but I just kind of get the feeling like he's done enough for now. He might take some time off for the summer and then come back strong at SummerSlam, something along those lines. So I really think you're going to see Kevin Owens walk out of this with the title to give him some sort of push back up towards the top. Now, I don't think Kevin Owens is going to be looking at a lot of huge title reigns or runs chasing it, but at least kind of more in that main event mix, just to, you know, throw something through it. We have the Intercontinental Championship, Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. I've come down a lot on Dean Ambrose in the past year or so. When he came first, broke out from the Shield, I honestly thought he should have been heel. He should have been the one instead of Seth Rollins, I think. But whatever, they did what they did. He ran fine for a while, but as I mentioned earlier, a lot of times when he's out there, he looks floaty to me. His punches just don't have a lot of impact. When he hits the ground, it just doesn't take a lot of impact. He does the stuff like hitting the ropes and kind of flipping back and flipping, back forward into it. That just shows that there's no real momentum there. It's breaking the illusion that the ropes are actually stretching and, throwing you back into it. And so I'm just not a huge fan of his work recently. Baron Corbin, Baron Corbin is Baron Corbin. He is, as much as they try to do stuff with him, there's just nothing there. He is so flat and lifeless and boring. At the same time, if Baron Corbin wins, getting that big win at WrestleMania over Dean Ambrose for the championship will help build Baron Corbin. Losing Dean Ambrose, losing at WrestleMania, won't mean anything. People care more about him as a character and a personality than for going out and having great matches. So I think you could see Baron Corbin win this as an attempt to try to push Baron Corbin higher in the fans' eyes, and it doesn't hurt Ambrose at all. So no big deal one way or the other, but that's kind of how I see that one playing out. Seth Rollins versus Triple H. I think Samoa Joe may do a run-in on this, and I would think maybe even they do a swerve at the last moment. They're going to book it as Seth Rollins versus Triple H, but then at the show, Triple H will back out and put Samoa Joe in his place, or say something like, well, I've got to go run the office, or, you know, something's come up, I can't be in the match. So I think you'll either end up with Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe, or Samoa Joe is going to do a run-in in the middle of this to set up a Seth Rollins-Samoa Joe, you know, ongoing feud for a rematch on Raw to run through till SummerSlam. So that's where I see that going. And if we are just going to do Seth Rollins versus Triple H, just a straight one-on-one match at WrestleMania, then I would see Triple H winning this with or without Samoa Joe. Like I said, I think you'll see Samoa Joe run out on this. It just seems to make sense. But even if he doesn't, I still think Triple H is going to win this. And as much as I like Seth Rollins, I think he's a great talent. He even had a Tron suit at a pay-per-view, so he definitely wins in my book as far as that goes. He just has a problem staying healthy. And that's going to be the biggest thing holding him back from jumping up to that high tier once again. So I think Triple H winning, it doesn't really hurt him, because no matter what, Triple H can cheat a million ways and beat Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins can always come back and be like, ah, but you cheated. So they'll do something underhanded, but I think Triple H will probably win that one. Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. If this is going to be the Undertaker's final match of all time, and it's a very distinct possibility, then Roman Reigns may win this. I don't want to see Roman Reigns win this. I don't know that he should win this. I think WWE thinks that if Roman Reigns beats Undertaker at WrestleMania, it'll elevate Roman Reigns. I think most people watching WrestleMania think that if Roman Reigns beats Undertaker at WrestleMania, they will never cheer for Roman Reigns again. So WWE, I think, has built a horrible match. I think they may actually have Roman Reigns win and have Undertaker officially retire for good, although an Undertaker retirement is a lot like a Ric Flair retirement, so, or a Terry Funk retirement. I mean, Terry Funk's retired 25 times since 1994, so who knows as far as that goes. But honestly, I think Reigns will win, and I think everybody will dump all over it, and I think rightly so. The Women's Championship, Bayley versus Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax. Maybe Nia Jax will come off actually as the winner on this one. I don't see Bayley retaining. There's no way that they're going to have this match with the four of them and have Bayley retain. I know some people like Bayley because she seems authentic. She seems more like she naturally cares, whatever. As far as I... Bayley is an indie fan. I mean, an indie gimmick. The whole hugger thing is an indie gimmick. She looks like she's wrestling in an indie show. The giving out hugs thing is an indie show thing to do. It just does not come across as a superstar thing. She has her fans, whatever, that's great. I just don't see, there's no way she's going into the match with those three and she's coming out as a champion. There's no need to legitimize her in that respect, because the fans that like her already like her, and the ones that don't, don't. And her winning this match is not going to do anything for that. But I think if Nia Jax were to come in and win, it would legitimize Nia Jax a little bit more and set up some more matches on the women's side. But I think most people in general are just not really going to care about the match one way or another. WWE Championship, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Randy Orton, you know, used to be a member of the Wyatt family, so they may try doing some sort of thing with that, you know, continuing on with that. I expect Bray Wyatt to have some sort of crazy entrance, because it is the championship. Randy Orton as well. I think they'll both do some sort of gimmick with a lot of, you know, pyro and sparks and whatever. But anyway, I don't think Randy Orton really needs to win this. I think if they have Bray Wyatt win, because of some of the things that have happened to Bray Wyatt over the last few years, he came in strong, built a stable kind of collapsed, fell apart, and then he's been relegated to a lot of mid-card stuff for a while until they found a good thing to kind of push him back up to the top. Now that he's a WWE champion, I think a solid win over Randy Orton is probably the right way to go to help, you know, make him continue to look strong. Again, Randy Orton loses, it's not going to hurt Randy Orton. If Bray Wyatt loses, then he's back to the mid-card as a nobody, I think, for a while. So at least we're not getting Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker at WrestleMania. All right. Universal Championship match. This is the one most people are tuning in to actually see. This is Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. This will probably not be a spear, jackhammer, pin. There's probably going to be an actual match. With this being probably Goldberg's, this very well might be his last match ever. There's a very good chance he might win and retire with the title, but I think because of how big they've pushed Goldberg the last few months, ever since Survivor Series, and the fact that he's older and probably going away, and this is probably his last match, and that Lesnar is the guy out of the two who's going to be sticking around more, even though he's limited in what he's doing, I think we're probably going to see Brock Lesnar win this. I've heard a lot of people say that they think Goldberg's going to win it, retire the next night on WrestleMania as champion, and that's going to be that. But honestly, I don't see Goldberg doing a whole lot more. I personally would like him to stick around more. I think he's still a draw. He still brings a lot of fan interest. A lot of people still like him. I think there's a lot more merchandise to sell, but I don't know exactly what his contract is, how long he's going to be sticking around. Again, Brock Lesnar, he can win this. It makes him, as the guy who finally beat, you know, Goldberg in WWE with this great match, whatever. There's even the possibility we might get a Stone Cold appearance here because of what happened at the last WrestleMania where the two of them had a match. And you might get stunners all around. You know, I don't know as far as that goes. But honestly, I think Lesnar's going to win it and Goldberg's going to retire, and that's going to be the end of that. So whether or not you like that ending, whether or not the show is going to be a positive for you is probably going to rest on that match. But that's how I see that going. And whether or not it's a good idea to have Goldberg there, I don't know. But that's going to do it for our look at WrestleMania. So, the last thing we have here to talk about is the Azpen. A-Z-P-E-N. This is a Chinese-made laptop, and it is running Android, and it's running a version of Android called Remix. First, let's talk about the laptop physically, though, before we get into much else. And you can take a look at it here, and you can see that it's got that kind of basic laptop look, the silver gray case, a lot like MacBook Air, I think, is what it's basically ripping off here. But you can see it's rubberized feet, couple little speakers on the bottom. And you can just see these very basic screws all around holding it together. But there's the company down there, the model A1160. And so that's what we're looking at here. We've got USB port, and we've got, this is the headphone port on this side, along with your USB. Oh, look, I've got garbage on the ground. Good thing. I don't even know what that is. Something that fell out. Okay, so anyway, there's that. On the back, nothing. On this side, you've got the power port. You've got another USB port there. You've got HDMI, and then you've got a micro SD slot. This is running Android, so micro SD is not uncommon on that type of thing. And then we can open it up, and there is a magnet in here pulling it closed. So it does keep itself closed pretty satisfyingly. It's not going to open inside your bag or whatever. And then on the inside, we've got what looks to be a fairly standard laptop. Take a look at the keyboard down here. It's a pretty good size. It's a decent size. The pad is actually pretty big. You can see it's in the widescreen ratio just like the screen is. So the pad actually, it works pretty well. It's got a tap for touch, but it doesn't always work all that well. But it does have the little clickies down there. So all of that seems to work out pretty well. And the pad's okay, but the problem I have is a lot of times when I'm typing on it, I touch that pad because it's so big, it covers so much of the bottom, which is nice when you're surfing the internet, but you're typing a long thing, it gets in the way. But they do have this little lockout. You put on the lockout, you can see the light shines up here to show you that it's locked out, and then it doesn't do anything at all. It won't get in the way. And then it just went back into standby mode, so it all turned itself back off. You've got your power key up here. Turning it on, there's a delay when you turn it on. And honestly, a lot of times you'll press it and you'll think nothing's happening, and it takes 10 seconds before the light even comes on to show that it's waking up and to remind you that that's what it's doing. And that's, it's an annoyance because you're not sure. You're sitting there staring at it, not sure if it's going to be turning on, if it's just looking at you. And then when it powers up, like most Android devices, it takes a while. It's not like a Chromebook where it's on like that. It takes, you know, a good 20 seconds before this thing is usable, which, I mean, oh no, you have to wait 20 seconds, you know, not that big of a deal, but just an annoyance nonetheless. Now, let's see. As far as the screen goes, we'll slide this up and take a look here, and you can see that they do have these little rubberized pads around the edges here, so when it's shut, it's not pushing down on the keyboard, so it kind of helps to protect that screen. The screen just has like this plastic coating on it. It's not glass or anything like that, so it's not super heavy, but it has pretty good viewing angles. You can see that as I turn it, it doesn't go away. So it looks good as far as that stuff goes. Let me put in my password here, my little pin code. And taking a look at the screen, the screen is pretty bright. It actually looks pretty good. It's not a super high definition screen, but it does the job. Now, looking at it, you can see, first of all, there's a lot of icons on the screen, and a lot of that is because even if you put these away into folders or you delete them off the desktop just to keep them down in the start menu, every time they update, they come back on top. And that is an annoyance. But that's the thing you have with a lot of apps on Android phones. You leave the app in your app drawer, and then you go to update them, and a lot of times they want to throw that icon back on the desktop to remind you that they're there and to please, please use us. But you can see that the Android desktop has been reworked to look a little differently. There is a home button on the keyboard, and when you press it, that doesn't do anything. I thought for sure that opened the... That should... Did I lock out the keyboard? Oh, I think I have the lockout thing on. Here, let me try it this way. If you see down here, this is your start menu. This has the logo for Jide, J-I-D-E, the company that came up with the Remix software. And Remix uses Android as if it was Windows. So you've got your start menu here. Your app drawer works like your start menu with all your apps showing up in here. And then you can see, I'm trying to do this backwards with the camera on it, so this is a little awkward. But you can see down here is your tray for all your different apps that might be running. You can collapse it with the arrow. But then over here on the other side, you can see you have things like your clock, your battery, your Wi-Fi signal, all of that stuff that would normally be on your drop-down on your phone or across the status bar at the top has now been moved down here, just like it is in Windows. So that is a little different there. They also added, if I can, oh man, doing this backwards is really, really tough. I don't know how many of you have tried to do everything backwards on camera. You also have this status tray, and the status notifications come over here. Hopefully there's nothing embarrassing coming up right here. YouTube, okay, all right. So your notifications actually pop up into this tray over here. And I actually turned off the notifications so that while I'm filming this stuff isn't popping up, you know, with messages or whatever. You know, you're wanted for murder. You know, I don't want that popping up while we're in the middle of recording. So I turned that off, but otherwise you get your little notification to pop up along the edge there so you would see that coming. Now, overall, Android as a operating system, it actually works pretty well. I was actually surprised at how well it works. And Remix is something that Jide has been working on for a while, turning Android into a computer-like experience. They actually sell something called the Remix Mini, which is a little device probably about this big that can attach to a mouse, keyboard, and monitor, and it makes it like a desktop computing environment. Aspen is taking it, putting it into the laptop form factor. And the question really that comes out of this is, can you use this as your daily driver? Is it possible to make this your go-to laptop for whatever you're doing on a day-to-day basis? And the answer is kind of. Maybe. Depends on what you're trying to do with it. Now, we know that Microsoft wants people to really use the Office products to keep them number one. So they jumped to Android. They made Android versions of Word and Excel, PowerPoint. And you can pull those up, you can use them, and they all work fine. So that gets you your productivity right here on your laptop, even though you're running Android. All of that still works fine. The main problem, I'm going to cough here for a second. Sorry about that. The main problem is there's no access. So if you're wanting to do database work, like for instance, at our comic book store, when I pull all the subscriber books, I actually use a database in Access that we import the invoice showing all the books that are coming. And then from that, I can cross-reference that with our database of subscribers and see how many copies are going to subscribers, how many are going to the shelf. And I put together the listings that go on eBay for the extra ones that are on the shelf so that we can sell them there. And I use Access for all that, and I need Windows in order to do that to make it run. I've yet to find any way to make it work through Android. I really wish it would, but it's not happening. So I'd still need a Windows book. You know, Chromebook can't do it. Android can't do it. You can probably do it on a Mac. I'm sure they have a version of Access or something compatible there. But these other smaller operating systems really don't have that. There is actually a browser on here I would recommend. It's called FlashFox. They've taken Firefox and reworked it and built Flash into it. And sometimes you have websites that really need that in order to make it work. You need a change in the rendering engine for certain websites. The website that we use for Pop Culture Network is actually running something called Geeklog. That's the software behind it, the database that's running that shows you the stories and pulls up the images and whatever. And that doesn't seem to like Chrome. It doesn't like Firefox. It always wants to run in like Internet Explorer or Edge because they use a different rendering engine. And it seems to like that rendering engine. For whatever reason, FlashFox will work with that, even though Firefox and Chrome don't like it. So there's something different about Flash Fox and the way it renders that it works. So there's quirky stuff. When you run into one of these things that doesn't seem compatible because you're in this limited Android environment, luckily enough, there's another app that will do it. So you have to remind yourself to use one instead of the other, which is kind of an annoyance, but it works. So as far as that, as having, you know, just something different that you have to get used to in order to make it work, that's what you're going to find a lot of times. For instance, excuse me, I'm used to, you know, highlighting something, copying and pasting over in another document. But of course, it's Android, so it's a long press in order to select. And so that's a different thing that you have to remember to use your long presses instead of your right clicks or your holding and dragging in order to make things work. But if you can get over that, if you can remember that there's that type of stuff, then yeah, it'll work fine. And it's working Android, so your Android games do work. Now, there are a few. Terraria wants a touchscreen. It's not going to work with the controls. But certain things like Minecraft works pretty well using the controls on here. Even though you probably don't want to use the touchpad, you probably want to attach a mouse. Use that instead, but you do have that ability. It seems to work okay. The main thing, though, that I found that I've used this for is you can install Kodi on here for streaming media. I have all the apps for the different TV networks, the on-demand shows, you know, the Netflix, the Watch ESPN, the Fox Sports Go, Fubo TV, Amazon Video, again, Kodi, all of those types of things are on here. So it's mainly as a multimedia device. That's the main thing that I tend to use it for, is to have an extra screen to show the video. And the reason why you might want to think about having a second thing for the sake of your multimedia is because of the fact that this is not that expensive. I'm trying to pull up see if I can find a current listing here. But it was not very much as it was listed online that I saw a while ago. They did it as a Kickstarter originally. And with the Kickstarter, you could get it for, I think, less than $100, which made it, you know, a very easy purchase. It made it painless to buy it super cheap to get it. Now, I'm trying to open. They do have a website. It's called HybrixPC.com, and I guess they handle the selling of the systems because this is the Aspen Hybrix. HYBRX is what they call it. I'm just trying to find a current price here. And of course, I can't find one. I know a lot of places like GearBest, AliExpress, those type places sell them. Aspen also sells some tablets, so you can see those if you go out there. Of course, the one time trying to pull something up and it doesn't want to work. But I do want to say it was fairly cheap. It uses, as far as size goes, carrying this thing around. Let me flip over to this other camera here for a second. Fold this down so you can take a look at the size here. If we compare this to some other products, like say an iPad, you can see that it's definitely bigger than an iPad. The screen is a little bigger than that. If we take something like a Surface tablet, you can see that it's roughly the same as a Surface, just a little bit wider out here. It does have big bezels around the screen, though, so your screen is comparable. It's not going to be the same, but it's comparable. But, you know, like I said, the price on this is pretty cheap. And the battery life is decent. You can use it for typing in Word, getting a lot of that stuff done, working on spreadsheets, doing that kind of stuff. So as far as like business, if you're using something like an iPad, you want something with an actual, you know, keyboard on it, then you do have that option. The keyboard, it's a little spongy in the middle. The case does give a little bit, but I find the keys are satisfying. I like the little chiclet keys. I know a lot of people don't. But personally, I do. I like those. It's, I either want these or I want like the old IBM x86 chunka type keys. But I think it works pretty well. It's pretty easy to type on. You just run into some problems sometimes with the tiny little arrow keys. You do have a .com button, which is nice. If you're typing, you can just hit it with your pinky, hit that .com to finish off what you're typing. And you do have function controls along the top. So volume, playback, searching, pull up your web browser, pull up your email, your brightness, home, in, page up, page down, all of that's on there. So all that type of stuff. You can probably hack this. You could probably throw Linux on here because it is running Android. But, I mean, honestly, as a little multimedia device, it's pretty thin. It's pretty lightweight. Carry it around with you. No big deal. You just throw it in your bag with a bunch of your other stuff, and you're not really, you know, going to miss out carrying this around. It's not like it's going to be super heavy. It's going to break the bank, anything like that. Again, pretty cheap. Can't pull up the I just want to buy one here. Let me try this. Hybrix laptop. Maybe I can do that. Nope. Oh, because it wants to find hybrid. No, don't find hybrid. This is the Hybrix. Yeah, it's cheap. Okay. I see that. I can see all these things saying, hey, they have these cheap laptops. This is about the same as an HP Stream, I guess, if you're familiar with those type of netbook type computers. It's the same thing as that. During the Kickstarter campaign, they sold as low as $69 if you were one of the early access people. If you buy it now, it says they go for about $140, sometimes on sale for about $100. So there you go. So maybe you have a tablet, you like Android, you have a lot of apps on it. There are just sometimes you want to sit and type a lot, and you just wish you had a laptop, or you just wish you had something that, you know, propped up the screen, you know, when you're sitting at a desk or whatever. It's good for a second screen. Sometimes when I'm sitting there working on stuff, I set it, you know, on the shelf next to me, and I've got that second screen that's streaming the video, running Kodi, whatever, that I can watch on there. Again, it's a good screen. It's got good viewing angles on it all the way around. So I tend to use it more along those lines than really as a regular laptop. Again, it can run some Android games, but you're kind of limited because it's not a touchscreen. There's some things that won't, some things that will. You're always going to be able to do your Candy Crush, that kind of stuff. You can, you know, do your Facebook. You can do your Gmail, you know, because it has an app, whatever. So a lot of that type of stuff works pretty well. There is an alternate system called Phoenix OS. And there have been some people trying to hack these things to get the Phoenix OS, which is it's another Android running as a desktop type thing. I may flash this and try Phoenix on it. Here, let me, the one thing, because it's all plastic. So this is plastic, this is plastic. And when you squeeze it, I don't know if the microphone can pull that up. It just has that creaky plastic feel to it, because it, I mean, it is cheap. You know, it was a cheap thing to put up there. I've got a, what happened there? Anyway, sorry about that. But, you know, as an inexpensive laptop, it's something you can give to your kids if they want something. They can do their schoolwork on it, similar to a Chromebook type of thing. If the kids want something that they can just, like, do some schoolwork on, type up a paper, it works really well for all of that stuff. You're just not – in fact, if you want them to not play a lot of games, it's a good thing to get them because they're not going to be, you know, doing a whole lot of stuff. There's no Mass Effect Andromeda being played on this thing as far as that goes. So it's interesting. It definitely fits a niche, a very small audience of people wanting something specific for a specific reason. If you have any other specific questions, leave it in the comments below. Send it to me on Twitter at PCN_dirt. On Twitter, or call our voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. If you have specific questions or specific apps that you want me to try on here, then go ahead and let me know. But, you know, for the most part, except for the database stuff where I need my desktop or video editing or audio editing where I need the desktop because of the processing power and those type of creative apps that you just don't find on Android, I still use my desktop for that. But honestly, if I'm just kicking back in my chair and the TV's on and I'm just looking for something, surf the internet, whatever, it does work and it's nice. And unlike something like a Surface, which is using the kickstand, this is an actual screen on a hinge that will support itself for sitting in your lap and, you know, holding up the screen instead of trying to balance a kickstand or use some other type of device when you've got a tablet that you're using in that type of format. With a physical keyboard. So if it's a use, you might have a use for it, and let me know what you think as far as that stuff goes. But that's going to do it for today, guys. Like I said, if you have any other questions or comments, feel free to leave them below. Leave them on Twitter. I apologize for this show being up late. I will try much, much harder to not have my car get a factory recall next week, and we can do it at the regular time. But that's going to do it for me, guys. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.